Doherty v. Wabash Center. Mr. Starkey.
May it please the Court, my name is Christopher K. Starkey, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, Michael Doherty. Sometimes the Family Medical Leave Act requires an employer to temporarily make a bad economic decision, that is, suspend an oral employment contract. An employer employs somebody because it calculates that what it pays the employee is less than what either the employee makes for it or saves for it. The public policy behind the Family Medical Leave Act is that the employee does not have to choose between his health and his job. The Family Medical Leave Act reinstatement provision in 29 U.S.C. section 2615A1 means nothing if the employment at will doctrine that Indiana has is allowed as a reason to terminate. That provision should be interpreted, I think, reasonably as a seniority issue. You know, if you're 100 on the seniority list, you go on family medical leave, then they're laying off 51 through 100. You don't get to say, well, I'm on family medical leave, so you're going to lay off number 50 and you're going to take me back.
Your client was terminated for cause.
Allegedly, yes. That's their position.
I thought it was undisputed because he admitted all of the infractions that he was charged with.
Your Honor, I don't think that's right. He didn't.
But he admitted the unprofessional email exchanges with the other employees. He admitted that he was abusive to the other staff members, that he purchased items in violation of company policy, that he refused to return his keys and disclose his passwords while he was out on leave so that the company could continue to operate to basically fill in for him while he was out on leave, and that he then deleted company files from his workstation remotely while he was out on leave. That's all undisputed, isn't it?
No, it's not. The email issue was resolved satisfactorily before he went on leave.
They agreed to put in place a plan of corrective action, but that was part of the package of infractions that the company fired him for. So it's not like it erased that off the employment record. He admitted the violation. He agreed to corrective action. That doesn't expunge the record, so to speak.
I understand that.
So it is undisputed.
That he had the email difficulties, yes.
Okay.
But that they were also resolved before he went on leave, that's in the record.
Still part of the employment record that he was fired for.
Yes, I would submit again, we're here on summary judgment granted against Mr. Doherty. Facts must be interpreted in the light most favorable to him. And that fact is this was resolved satisfactorily before he went on leave. If they did have issues with him, and they did clearly, they could have reinstated him and then confronted him.
Well, they could have. There's nothing in the law that required them to do that.
I would disagree with that, Your Honor, that they are required to do that.
They're not required to reinstate him before they fire him. They can fire him while he's out on leave if the information constituting grounds for termination comes to the employer's attention while he's out on leave. There's nothing in the FMLA that requires the company to return him to his position for 30 seconds before he is fired. If the grounds for termination are otherwise adequate, that's the end of the inquiry.
Well,
there's no FMLA violation. He was given his leave.
But he could, you know, they gave him 3 years of leave, essentially, because they told him never to come back, Your Honor. And they could have, you know, Indiana's the employment at will doctrine, and they could have fired him for not wearing a green tie on St. Patrick's Day.
But they didn't. They fired him for cause. They didn't fire him for exercising his leave rights.
Well, Your Honor.
You know, if they had fired him under the employment at will doctrine for no reason, then you might have a claim, but not on this record, where there's a whole lot of undisputed misconduct on his part.
Well, Your Honor, I submit that it is disputed. I mean, he submitted an affidavit. Every one of those things that you listed, you know, the ordering the materials is that was he needed to do that because they wouldn't deliver to the facility for safety reasons. As far as you know, again, the emails were satisfactorily resolved. The deleting data, that's part of his job, is deleting data. He was an IT specialist. That was part of his job, was to delete data. You know, there's nothing that it was improperly deleted. And he just said it was simply deleted data. He has to clean off the system. It's part of his job.
That's not a reasonable inference on this record, counsel. I'm surprised you're making that argument.
Your Honor, he's the computer expert, and he submitted that was part of what I had.
Doesn't that show insubordination? Who cares whether he doesn't think it's right? They asked for it, and he didn't do it.
I'm sorry, didn't ask for what?
About returning over his keys?
Your Honor, the keys and the passwords, he was on leave. He was advised about his partner later.
What's that
doing
got
anything
to do with anything? They asked for it back. Why does he not give it back to them?
It's part of his job.
He doesn't make that determination. That's his boss's determination, whether it's part of his job or not. Right?
I would agree with that. Yes.
So wasn't that subordination? Insubordination?
Your Honor, I guess I have a difficulty with insubordination while you're on leave. I mean, you're insubordinate. Here's a task that I want you to perform. I'm not performing it. Therefore, I'm insubordinate. He's on leave. They can require him. They can't require him to perform tasks.
Can't require him to do anything? What if they call up, ask a question, they can't find something, he says, I'm leave. I don't answer any questions. That's not insubordination?
I would submit it's not, Your Honor.
That is not insubordination? That's your argument?
That's
completely unreasonable. A totally unreasonable position to take.
Under your argument, he can make his own rules, pretty much.
Under his argument, he had to come back. Under my argument, excuse me, Your Honor, he had to come back when his leave was up, when he was allowed to return to work, and then he could go back to work.
So he could do no wrong while he was on leave.
He could not be required to do any work.
Vis-a-vis the company, he could do no wrong.
I would say that's it. Again, as long as he didn't take any action while he was on leave.
Well, actually, he did, though. He deleted those 5,000 electronic files remotely.
I'm sorry?
He did take action while he was on leave. He deleted 5,000 electronic files remotely.
I'm not sure he did it remotely, Your Honor.
Wasn't that the first day of his leave?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't that done the first day of his leave?
I don't remember. I have to say, I don't remember that in the record.
I think it was. So, he did that while on leave. He just wouldn't give the company his keys and his password so they could do his job without him.
That's right. And they divided his job up while he was gone and didn't restore him to employment. We'd have an issue before his performance was outstanding until he went on leave. This is in a situation where the employer, where the employee is just simply saying, I was doing a good job, and the employer says otherwise. Their performance reviews before his role in Rest Assured say that he was doing an outstanding job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Starkey. Mr. Williams?
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Craig Williams, and I represent Wabash Center and Jeffrey Darling in this matter. In plaintiff's entitlement claim, he seeks to expand the FMLA beyond the statutory language as interpreted by this Court. 29 U.S.C. Section 2614A3 provides that an employee is not entitled to any greater right than he would be had he not taken leave. And it is the plaintiff's burden to establish that he is entitled to restoration. In this situation, Wabash Center submitted evidence that he would have been fired even if he had not taken leave because of the discovery of numerous deficiencies that came to light during Mr. Daugherty's leave. It is plaintiff's job to rebut that evidence and to present to argue that it is somehow insufficient or that he would not have been terminated but for his FMLA leave. There is no evidence in the record to that extent. And the fact that the leave, this court has held in the past, that the fact that the leave permitted the discovery of the problems cannot be a bar to firing a deficient employee. Several times during counsel's argument, he mentioned that the email war, I will call it, was satisfactorily resolved in the June 19th meeting. In that, the evidence on which he relies that it was, quote, unquote, satisfactorily resolved was the plaintiff's own affidavit, paragraphs 9 and 10, that essentially state that there was these problems and he was given a warning on it. There's nothing in the record that would establish that particular episode was satisfactorily resolved in the minds of Wabash Center or Jeffrey Darlin. Accordingly, since the plaintiff has not established that he was entitled to be reinstated, that claim, his entitlement claim, was correctly dismissed on summary judgment by the district court. With respect to the plaintiff's retaliation claim, he concedes that he must proceed under the indirect standard, the direct standard, as he does not have evidence of a similarly situated individual. The direct evidence he believes establishes discrimination or retaliation is that he was fired while on leave and that Mr. Darling somehow made an admission that he was fired for insubordination because he did not return his keys. I submit that neither of these are direct evidence. First and foremost, while there's a close temporal proximity because he was fired on leave, there's no causal connection between the employment decision and the FMLA leave. And finally, the circumstantial evidence on which he relies that he was performing satisfactorily is based on a March 06 evaluation, which not only predates his leave, it predates the problems with respect to his management style and the emailing issues. And the appropriate standard to consider is whether he was satisfactorily performing at the time of his termination. Finally, as the court noted, the plaintiff admitted to the deletions. While he may state that it's not intentional, it's the honest belief of the employer that is at play here. Plaintiff admits to not following the purchasing protocol and having things delivered to his house. He admits to not turning over his keys and passwords, and that is sufficient for his termination, and we ask that you affirm the district court's decision. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Williams. Mr. Starkey, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Okay.
Thank you. Again, by affidavit, he submitted evidence countering, creating an issue of material fact as to whether he had direct evidence of discrimination. Also, ignoring the letter where they attempted to designate him as a key employee. There's no other reason to send that. It didn't comply with the law, didn't inform him that he was entitled to restoration. It was late, and the only reason to send that letter was to show that they intended to terminate him as soon as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel, and court will be in recess.